And we're holding on page 128, three lines from the bottom, middle of Os Peites. We've been discussing the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu after the Chet Ha'Egel, and to a certain extent, some other tefillahs of Moshe Rabbeinu that are recorded in the Torah during his lifetime. So another one, Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Rav Chanina, Kol Amarich B'Tefilosai, anybody who takes long over his davening, ain't tefillah chazeres reikam. His tefillah won't return empty-handed, meaning that Hashem will listen and pay attention to it. Minolon mimoshe Rabbeinu. When we see that from Moshe, when he davened after the Chet Ha'Egel, Shenemavor spalal al Hashem. He describes how after the Chet Ha'Egel he davened to Hashem. Ochtiv basrei vayishma Hashem eila gam bapam ahi. And he says Hashem listened to me also that time. And he goes on to explain, Marsha explains that there, in the Pesukim over there, he says explicitly that he was on Har Sinai for 40 days, so he was davening for 40 days straight, so that's Marich B'Tfilosai, and sure enough, he was answered by Yishma Hashem Elai, that Hashem listened to me. So the Gemara says, Eini, is that so? Anybody who davens at great length and delves into it, which we'll see in a second what that means, eventually he's going to come to heartache, meaning that so Rashi explains ma'ayin ba means that he's expecting that because he davened long, then therefore his tefillah is going to be answered, and it may not be because Hashem has his own plans, and then he's going to be very disappointed. Ke'ev lev, Rashi describes, means that a person feels very disappointed that he doesn't accomplish what he wanted. Shenema, as you find a pasuk, techelas mushacha machla lev, a lengthened techelas, where techelas, in simple meaning of the pasuk, techelas means something that you look forward to. But here we're doushing Meloshin davening, Meloshin vayichal, as we said yesterday, all the different drushes of what vayichal Moshe meant. So techelas memushacha, when the davening is very long, machlalev, then it leads to sickness of heart. And Marsha says, now the Gemara obviously realized that we're talking about here about ma'ayinba, but the Gemara thought, on the contrary, ma'ayinba maybe is better. That after all, he's not only davening at great length, but he's delving into the meaning of his davening. So we're saying it's not so good. Marsha also mentions that the word techelas doesn't have to, like Rashi says that it's Meloshin Vayichal, Meloshin Davening. Marsha says it can also be the simple meaning, that it means what a person looks forward to. So therefore it means, again, that a person looks forward that his davening his tefillah will be fulfilled, what he's asking for, and he doesn't. So that leads to Machlalev, Mai Takante. So how should he fix it up? Yasek Batorah, he should occupy himself with learning Torah, because it may be, Marsha says, what may have caused that his tefillah is not accepted, because he's not learning enough Torah. So therefore, Shenemar, that same pasuk in Mishlei continues, the Eitz Chaim Tav Aba, a tree of life is a taiva, that is a desire that comes. And the Ein Eitz Chaim Ala Torah, and a tree of life refers to the Torah, Shenemar Eitz Chaim Yil Machzikim Ba. So now, putting the whole pasuk together the way the Gemara is doubting it, we're saying that if a person davens at great length, then it causes him heartache because he doesn't necessarily get it fulfilled, but let him learn Torah more, and that way he has more of a chance that his tefillah will be accepted. So what are you telling me, that automatically davening at great length is helpful? The answer is loikasha hodim arich ma'ayin ba hodim marich v'loy ma'ayin ba. It depends whether he's davening at length and is ma'ayin in it versus not ma'ayin. Now, Tosfos explains that actually there are two different kinds. When we talk about every day, we say in davening and in Eilu Dvarim, we mention the various things that a person gets the payrus in this world, and a keren kemus leilam abba, and one of them is iyun tefillah. So we see that iyun tefillah is a good thing, where here the Gemara seems to be saying that it's a negative thing. So Tosfos explains here and in a few other places in Chas that there are two different kinds of iyun tefillah. What we talk about in morning davening and Eilu Dvarim refers to delving into, understanding carefully the words that you're davening, having kavana in it. That's a very good thing. For that, a person gets a schar in this world and the next world. The Iyun Tefillah that we're talking about over here is the kind of thing where the person is thinking to himself, because I've davened so hard and had such kavana, Therefore, I'm sure that Hashem is going to fulfill what I'm asking. That, as the Gemara is saying over here, can lead to a person being disappointed. So in short, the proper thing to do is to daven at length and to have kavana in davening, and also, as the Gemara is saying, to also be learning Torah so that a person has more schus, so that his tefillahs will be accepted, but not to have the other kind of iyun tefillah where he's expecting, because I daven so hard, therefore I'm sure Hashem is going to grant my request, because that may not work out. Furthermore, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chama Rav Chanina, Im ra adam she spalal vanen, if a person sees that he davened and was not answered by Hashem, yachsev yispalal, let him daven again, try again and again. Shenema, as the pasuk says, kaveh al Hashem, hope to Hashem, chazak v'yametz debecha, be strong and let your heart be courageous, v'kaveh al Hashem, and hope to Hashem, meaning even, so you've hoped to Hashem, you've davened, and it still hasn't happened, strengthen yourself again and hope to Hashem, daven again. Because again and again, and eventually the schosim of it may bring about that what you need is fulfilled. And of course, as we know, also, you know, no tefillah goes to waste. There's the famous explanation that even if your tefillah isn't fulfilled the way that you see it, it's helping somebody else out there. Maosha points out that pasuk, so we have it. It's at the end of Ladavon Hashem Ori. The earlier in that capital, we're clearly talking about davening. Achas sho'alti me'es Hashem. I'm asking one thing from Hashem. Oisa vakish. That is what I'm requesting. So we see that, therefore, the pasuk at the end, kaveh al Hashem, must also refer to davening. In this connection, the Gemara says, Tanan Abanan, Dalad Srichin Chizuk. There are four things in life for which a person needs strength. In other words, he needs to reinforce himself and put all of his effort into it again and again. Elohim, Torah, or Maisim Tovim, Tefillah, the Derech Eretz. Learning Torah, doing Maisim Tovim, doing mitzvahs, davening, and Derech Eretz, which for this purpose means, it actually says, whatever a person's job is, if he's a craftsman, if he's a person who makes things, then he needs chizuk in order to do his job right. If he's a merchant, then for that. If he's a soldier, as the Gemara is going to bring an example from a pasuk involving generals of an army, then, in other words, a person can't slack off and think, okay, so I know my job. I don't have to. When you're doing your job, you got to put effort into it. That's what Derech Eretz means for this purpose, yeah. Toto, Mais, and Tovim, Minayin. Where do we see that applies to learning Torah and doing Mais and Tovim? Shenema, Hashem tells Yeshua, Rak Chazak ve'ematz ma'od, only be strong and be very courageous, Lishma lasis kechol ha'Torah, to observe and to do like the whole Torah. So chazak v'Torah v'ematz v'masim tovim. So the words chazak v'ematz means be strong in Torah and be courageous in ma'asim tovim. So you have to re-strengthen yourself to do it again and again. Marsha also mentions that the word v'shamarta particularly in this case lishmar means to learn Torah. Specifically, there's a Gemara in Kiddushin that refers it to learning Mishnah. And then lasis would be the ma'asim tovim. So we see that those two need chizuk. Tefillah minayin, how do we see for davening? Shenema, as we just said, kaveh al Hashem, chazak v'yametz lebecha, v'kaveh al Hashem, that you need to re-strengthen yourself over and over. So you need to be strong in kavona in davening. Derech eretz minayin, so the point is with each of these things, you have this double expression. You have chazak v'ematz, by each of these things. And now you have by derech eretz, by a person's job, minayim, shenema, as we find, now you have the story in Sefer Shmuel that this pasuk is in the middle of. You have Yoav and his brother Avishai, who are two of David's nephews and two of David's generals. They are fighting a war against Ammon and several other allies of Ammon. And Yoav is telling his brother Avishai how we're going to arrange our troops. And then he tells him, Chazak v'nischazik v'adameinu v'gomer, be strong and let us be strong on behalf of our people. So in other words, each of us is going to have to be very strong in doing our jobs and defeating our enemies. So the point is, we see that Derech Eretz, in this case, their job is to be soldiers. To be generals of the army, actually. So they need that extra strength. They need to put in that extra effort into it. Again, just like with the other ones, you have the expression chazak v'ematz. So here you have the expression chazak v'nischazek, which, by the way, is where we get the Lashon chazak v'nischazek at the end of a chumash. So the Gemara has been bringing various drushas from Rabbi Elazar. Then we interrupted with drushas from a couple of other Amiroyim. So now Rabbi Elazar says another point. Fasting is even greater than tzedakah. Because one involves the person's body, the tainus is he's afflicting his own body. The other one just involves giving away money. Now, with that said, Marsha says, and Eitz Yosef teaches out in more detail that, on the other hand, we learned earlier in our Masechta, Agra the Tanisa Tzedakah, the real reward of a fast is the Tzedakah that people give afterwards to the Aniyim. So what do you mean we're saying over here all of a sudden that the fast is greater? So that's the thing. What Samar Shah says, what it means is by giving tzedakah, you're making the fast a more complete fast. Eitz Yosef teaches it out more. When you have a person just fasts without giving tzedakah, so it could be because he's fasting as tshuva, could just be he's a cheap person and he wants to save the money on food. So therefore he's fasting. When you see that afterwards he's giving tzedakah generously, then you understand he's fasting sincerely because of tshuva. So then in that case, then the money makes the fast mean so much more. In this connection about fast days, and we mentioned before about how sometimes there's a blockage that prevents our tefillos from going to Hashem. We talked yesterday about mechitza shabarzal. So the Gemara says, Rova le gozer tamnisa biyoma de'iva. Rava would not declare a fast on a cloudy day. Mishum Shanema, because you have a posik, sakoisa ba'ananloch me'avur tefillah, a posik in Eicha, Hashem, you've screened with a cloud in front of you that our tefillah should not pass through. So of course, I mean, the posik is using a cloud metaphorically, of course, but still Rava understood that when you have a cloudy day, then it's kind of a simen min hashamayim that there's a blockage between us and Hashem. In other words, Marashah says it means that there are malachim who are makatrugim, who are accusing the Jewish people and preventing our tefillahs from going through. In fact, he says that's why the pasuk uses the metaphor of a cloud. We find that we have back by Yitzias Mitzrayim, a cloud. We're just the opposite. About 40 years in the desert, the cloud was what led us through the desert. That was the simen of Hashem's presence. But now we're saying it becomes the opposite. Before I should point out, by the way, I mean, you have to declare a fast the day before. You can't declare it on the actual day itself. You have to accept it by mincha of the day before. So it would mean, in other words, that if one day was cloudy, he wouldn't on that day declare a fast for the next day, because he would realize, in other words, that it's not an Eser Atzim. With that said, Iyun Yaakov said, now we're not talking about if it was a rainy day. A rainy day, Adraba, shows that it's an Eser Atzim, that it's a time of favor from Hashem, that he's giving rain to the earth. So what we mean is when it's cloudy but not rainy. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says, speaking of this whole matter of blockages between us and Hashem. So the Gemara says, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, we have it at the beginning of one of the Haftorahs during the summer, but Tzion Azavani Hashem, the beginning of the Haftorah, Parshas Ekev, that Tzion has said, Hashem has abandoned me, Hashem Shechoni, and Hashem has forgotten me. So the question is, why the double expression? Hainu Azuva, Hainu Shchucha. Isn't abandoned and forgotten the same thing? Why the double expression? Or at most, fine. I mean, you have the pasuk sometimes speaks poetically, but then it could have said, for example, it could have said, "Vatoy metzien azavani ushkechani Hashem." What is each one is something separate. So it means Amar Shlokish, Amar Knesses Yisrael Lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Means the Jewish people are saying to Hashem, "Ribono Shlalom, Adam noise ishtal ishal ishto rishona." When a man marries a second wife in addition to his first wife, zoichem aisa rishona. At least he remembers what the first one did for him. He may not be as close with her as before, but after all, but he still remembers what she did. Interesting, it actually connects with something in this week's parasha, today's Chumash, actually, when Yaakov marries Bilha at Rachel's urging, so this way she'll have children through Bilha. So she names the first one. When he marries Zilpah, actually, when Leah has him marry Zilpah, she calls the first baby God, and Rashi says over there, "Bog God, Maloshin Boyged," like so to speak, you betrayed me, like the way when a husband betrays his wife. So even though it was at her urging, but still, the fact that you took a second wife means that So now the Jewish people say to Hashem, at least though, in that case, in a case like that, at least still the husband remembers his first wife. Ata azavtani ushachtani, but you seem to have not only abandoned me for another wife, but forgotten me altogether. In other words, what we're saying is that we're saying to Hashem, it's bad enough that we're in Golos, but you seem to be now favoring the Goyim. It seems like now they're the ones who earn your favor. So it's almost like you set us aside in favor of a different wife. So what's going on? And the pasuk continues, Hasishkach isha ula, can a woman forget her baby? So Omalah Kodesh Baruch Hu, so it means Hashem replies to the Jewish people, Biti, he says, my daughter. We know, by the way, I mean, here we have, first we're using the metaphor of the Jewish people and Hashem as husband and as of Hashem and us as husband and wife. Now we're switching to the metaphor of father and daughter. We know, of course, there's all the different times. You have the Medrash says that at different times Hashem calls us his wife, his sister, his daughter, even his mother. So Biti, my daughter, I want you to know, Hashem says to us Jewish people, how uppermost you are in my thoughts. I created 12 mazolos in the heavens, each one consisting of many stars. Each one of the 12 constellations, there are actually a couple of dozen more constellations, but we're focusing on the one that the sun travels along that path throughout the year. So within each mazel, I created 30 legions. Actually, legions is the next thing, legion. 30 armies. Each army consists of 30 legions, which is some kind of lesser division of an army, which is a lesser division. So each of these, Rashi explains, each of these are names of various levels in an army. Like you have the same way in a human army, you have units that are commanded by a sergeant, by a lieutenant, by a major, and so forth. So that's the Gemara is using the same metaphor over here. The gastra, and each of those, the lowest level units, Talisi ba or boy, shloish meis v'shish machamisha alfei ribe kechavim. I put into each of one of those gastras 365,000 times 10,000. So 1,000 times 10,000 is 10,000,000. So 365 that times 1,000 times that, then you're talking 3,000,000,000 and change. Stars in each one of those gastra, and then again multiply that by 30 to get the number of Kauten and another 30 to get the number of Raten and so forth. You come out, the number the Gemara is coming out with over here then is something like 10 to the 18th power. That's what Hashem is saying. That's how many stars there are in the entire universe. Yeah. So each gastra even has so many stars, Kenegad Yemosachama, 365 times 10,000 times 10,000, corresponding to the number of days in the solar year. Maharsha points out, by the way, that we have over here seven different levels of, so we have altogether seven different levels of units in the army. We're saying you have the mazel, the chayil, the ligyon, the rahatan, the kauten, the gastra, and the number of stars. That corresponds, Maharsha says, that corresponds to the seven koichvei leches, the seven moving heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, and the five planets that are visible with the naked eye. So altogether, so v'chulam le'barasi ela b'shvilech, so all of those 10 to the 18th power of stars, I created only for your sake. V'ata marta azavtoni ushachtoni, you're saying you've forgotten me and abandoned me. You should realize how much you're always in my thoughts. The entire world exists only for the sake of the Jewish people. And the point is, so Maharsha says that you have psukim that express the idea. One of them actually was in Daf Yomi a couple of days ago, that if it weren't for Brisi Yomim V'Layla, my bris, which is by day and by night, which the Gemara brings, there are two possibilities. One is that it means bris mila, and the other one is means the schus of Torah. Then I wouldn't have chukas shemayim va'aretz le'samti. I wouldn't have set up the laws of heaven and earth. So all of them exist because of the mitzvahs of Torah or bris mila, as the case may be, that we Jewish people do. And ultimately, what's the bishvilech? So Rashi, I mean, Marsha rather, mentions the fact we have also in connection with this week's parasha, the idea that Yaakov's image is engraved on the Kisei HaKavod. And the Kisei HaKavod is beyond all these myriads of stars that we're talking about over here. So all of those are created and continue to exist only for the sake of the Jewish people who descend from Yaakov, whose image is on the Kisei HaKavod among all of them, above all of them. In this week's parasha, by the way, it says that in the Medrash, that when the Malachim are Olam v'Yodim Bo, they're going up and down the ladder. Why they're going up and down? They're looking at Yaakov sleeping over there on Har Maria, and then they're going up and looking on the Kisei HaKavod and noticing the same thing. Anyway, so then Hashem continues in the Psukim to the Jewish people. He answers, Hasishkach Isha Ula, can a woman forget her baby? So the Gemara Daushins, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klum Eshkach Oilus Eilim Upitri Rechomim Sheikrav Telefone Bamidbar. How could I forget the Oilus of rams and the firstborns, the Peter Rechem, that you offered before me in the Midbar? So Rashi explains, we're Daushin now in symbol, meaning the word Ula with a Shuruk means her baby. So it's saying the same way as a woman can never forget her baby, the same way Hashem is saying, I can never forget you. But the Gemara is downshining now the word Ula, Meloshin Oila. So therefore, it means Hashem is saying, how can I forget the Oilas? Marsha says differently. Marsha says that actually, what about the word Isha? What about the word Hashishkach Isha Ula? What are we downshining with the word Isha? So he says it has two meanings. Number one, it means Meloshin Isha, like we say Isha Reach Michayach. So it means a korban offered with fire. And number two, since the pasuk continues, Meirachim Ben Bitna, the pasuk continues. Hashem says, can I forget Meirachim Ben Bitna? How could a woman forget the baby that she bore from her womb? So therefore, that represents the Pitrei Rechamim. That represents the firstborn that we or the firstborns that we offered to Hashem in the desert. So therefore, Hashem is saying, I can never forget those things, and therefore, I'm not going to feel. Don't think that I've forgotten you. The Rashba has a long explanation over here where he explains. Now you have like this. He says there are where people look at these kinds of gemaras and they make one of two mistakes. Now what are we saying over here? We're taking the word ula in the pasuk, which is with a shuruk, and dashing as though it said ula with a chud. So he says there are two kinds of people. Some people think that that really is the way the pasuk is supposed to, the way the word in the pasuk is supposed to be pronounced, or what it means. And then you have people who say, who are koifrim, who think that the chachamim didn't know what they're talking about, that they're misunderstanding the psukim. The Rashba says both of them are wrong. What it means is the Gemara, the chachamim, wanted to impress on us this point that we should realize how essential we Jewish people are to Hashem's thoughts. Like we said before, the entire world and all however many zillions of stars exists only for the sake of us Jewish people. So they associated it with this pasuk in a way that this way we'll remember it. Not that they're saying that that's the actual meaning or the actual pronunciation of the words in the pasuk. So the Gemara continues. So now the Jewish people say to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, since there's never any forgetting in front of your Kisei HaKavod, Shemalei Tishkach Li Maaseh Egel, or is it possible that you're never going to forget the egel that I made? The same way, Marsha says, you're not going to forget us Jewish people because Yaakov's image is engraved on the Kisei HaKavod. You know what? By the Kisei HaKavod, you also have the Chayis HaKodesh, the chariot, so to speak. And one of the Chayis HaKodesh has the fen, among the faces of the Chayis HaKodesh, is the face of an ox. So therefore, you always have a constant reminder of the Chet HaEgel over there. Omallah, Hashem says, no, don't worry. Gam Eila Sishkachna. Also, these can be forgotten. Now, in context, what the pasuk is saying, even it can sometimes happen in human life that a woman does forget about her baby, but even if they do, I will never forget you. But now, the Gemara is doubting that, no, Hashem is saying, don't worry, the Eila, meaning when you said Eila Elekecha Yisrael by the eagle, that will be forgotten. Which Marsha says it means as long as we're in Golos, then yeah, there's always a remembrance of that. But then, when Hashem takes us out of Golos, then indeed the Maaseh Egel will be completely forgotten. So now you're telling me that there is something that can be forgotten. Maybe what if you're going to forget that I accepted the Torah at Har Sinai? Hashem answers, I will not forget you. The word anoichi means aseres hadibros that begin with the word anoichi Hashem alekecha. So v'hainu the amar of laza amar of Hashem my dichtiv gam eila sishkachna. What is that last half? What does that half of the pasuk mean when it says also eila will be forgotten? Zem ma'ase egel. This means Hashem promises to forget the ma'ase egel. V'anoichi la'yishkacha. Zem ma'ase Sinai. Hashem promises not to forget that we accepted the Torah by Har Sinai. Marsha says also then another one of the haftoras that we say during Shivat and Nechemta begins onoichi onoichi hu menachemchem. So the double onoichi over there refers to the luchas shnius. So Hashem didn't give up on us after the chet ha'egel. He gave a second set of luchas to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Hashem is saying, I will be your menachem in the future. That just like then I gave you the luchas, the same way in the future I will forget the ma'aseh ha'egel completely, and I will give you back everything that you lost. We learned back in the Mishnah when we talked about Einim and Lispalo Elamitech Kovid Rosh, and that led us into all these agadtis about the importance of davening with Kavona and the various things about that. So now the Mishnah had said Chassidim Rishonim Ho Yishohin Shoah Achas Kula, that the Chassidim Rishonim would wait for one hour before they daven Shemoneh Esrei. The Mishnah had said in order that they should have Kavona. So Menahanim Lili, how do we know that you have to wait at all? The pasuk says, happy are those who sit in your house, where the word yoshev also means to stay for a while. And then, only then, do they praise you Hashem forever. So you have to wait for a while. So now, the chassidim rishonim would literally wait for 1 hour. And during that time, they'd be learning chassidus and talking and thinking into the greatness of the Eidish to prepare themselves for davening. We don't do quite shah achas because we don't have the special siyata d'shmaya that Gemara is going to go on to say now to be able to spend 9 hours a day on such things. But we still, this is the idea why we have Pesukim de Zimra and then Shema and it's brachas and whatever before Shemoneh Esrei is in order to lead ourselves up to Shemoneh Esrei, to standing in front of the Eidish. Marsha also adds the word oid over there means oid means even more. So it means the minimum is ashrei yesh v'secha, that you're sitting there for a while. Where the minimum, it says in Shulchan Aruch, is at least to wait. We learned earlier in the Masechta the amount of time that it takes to walk 8 tefachim. But then Chassidim Rishonim would go beyond that oid. They would do more, and they would do for a full hour. Then when it says, a person also has to wait for Shah Achas after we daven. Where again, for the average person, doesn't literally mean Shah Achas, but it means a certain period of time. So we do that with each of our tefillahs. We don't just say Shemoneh Esrei and then we leave. We have, even by Mincha, we have Aleinu after it. With that, we're at least Yotze the Shah Achas. So Shenema, Ach Tzadikim Yodel L'Shmecha, as the pasuk says, however the Tzadikim will praise your name, Yeshvu Yesharim Asponecha, the upright will sit in your presence. And again, the word Yeshvu, just like we said before, means not just to sit, it means to wait. So therefore, it means the Yesharim will wait in your presence before rushing off after davening. This is in fact why we say that pasuk at the end, and the Alter Rebbe included in the Siddur, that Shetzorech Loima Pasuk Zeh, on the basis of, because that is where we're learning this concept of taking some time after davening. For the same reason, Tosfos says that is why. Now we learned earlier in the Masechta the importance of the Kapitel Tehillah of David, Kapitel Kuf Mem Hei, which is why we say it every day. We said a person says it 3 times a day, then he's Muftach Lo Shabbat and Alam Abba. But why do we put before it the Pasuk Ashrei Yosheh Ve'Secha, which is from a completely different part of Tillim? The Pasuk Ashrei Yosheh Ve'Secha is from Kapitel Pei Dalad. The rest of it is you have the last Pasuk of Kuf Mem Dalad and the whole Kuf Mem Hei. Why are we doing that? Because our Gemara is explaining why we're saying things before Shemoneh Esrei anyway. So therefore, it's very appropriate to preface it to that capital. Tani Nami Hochi, we learn similarly in Braisa. Hamispalot Sarach Shayisha Shah Achas Kerim Tfilase, Vashah Achas Achat Tfilase. A person davens, he has to wait for a certain period of time before he davens, and a certain Shemoneh Esrei, and a certain amount of time after he davens. So the same thing Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, we find a braisa that says exactly the same thing. So the Gemara says, Tanan Rabbanan, Chassidim HaRishonim HaYishoyin Shah Achas, the early Chassidim used to wait for 1 hour, a full hour, we're saying, then they would take a full hour over the Shemoneh Esrei, and then they would wait for another hour afterwards, where the hour afterwards, you have a lot of things. It's the person is coming down from, and in Tisvei HaRizal explains that Shemoneh Esrei is associated with Hatzilus, so you have to step down gradually from that. This is, by the way, why we have the various parts of davening, in particular in Shacharis, the various parts after Shemoneh Esrei are all meant to be that step down. They're all to come down from Hatzilus back down to Asiya. So we have those various stages that we go through. So they'd be doing that. During that Shah Achas, they would be thinking more about the greatness of the Eivishter that they just achieved in Shemoneh Esrei, that they just recognized some glimmer of it in Shemoneh Esrei and be able to be poil, to bring it, mice and poil into their daily lives, and so forth. So now there are three tefillos a day. So that means altogether they were spending 9 hours in shul. So if they're spending 9 hours a day on davening, how is their Torah preserved? In other words, how do they not forget their learning because they have so little time for it? And when is their work? They have to work for a living. When does that get done? Ella. So the answer is because they were chassidim, and therefore they're on that high level of closeness to Hashem, Torah and Mishtameres, Malach and Misparechas, even during that small amount of time that they have remaining of the rest of the day, their Torah is preserved and there's a bracha in their work. So they don't forget their learning. They don't forget their learning, and there's a bracha in their work that even though they do only a little bit of work, it works out for them as if they had done all of it. Marsha brings in this connection a pasuk that you have a pasuk va'avadtem es Hashem lekecha va'avadtem es Hashem lekechem uveirach es lach mechava es meimecha. So now va'avadtem is plural. You plural should serve Hashem. So why then does the pasuk switch to the singular that He will bless your singular, your bread and your water? So he explains what it means is that everybody has to daven, but most of the people can't be spending like the chassidim or rishonim over here spending 9 hours a day on it. So we're saying the Yechidei Skula, then Hashem is saying, He'll give them a special bracha that even though they're only working a tiny amount of the day, nevertheless, there's a bracha in it. Mefoshim also point out that Iyun Yaakov points out, listen, to be Chassidim in the first place, they had to have learned Torah previously. Loyama Oretz Chassid, after all. So before they ever reached the level of Chassidim, which is a very high level, they must have already become Tamid Chachamim. Therefore, we're not asking how is it that they don't achieve more in Torah. The question is how is their Torah preserved that they don't forget it? And the answer is Hashem gives them a bracha. The Rebbe actually brings there's a sicha in Chelek Tzayin, a sicha for Purim, analyzing what happened over there. We know that after the story of Purim, Mordechai became Achashverosh's prime minister, and men Mikzas Sanhedrin Pirshu Rimenu, some of the Chachamim stayed away from him and held that he's not acting rightly. So there's a sicha there where the Rebbe brings in this connection a story involving the Rogachover. After the Friedrich Rebbe got out of Russia in 1927, he was living in Riga in Latvia for a few years. So once he was there, one of the first things he did is he wanted to set up a committee of people who are going to be involved working on behalf of the Jews of Russia. So he asked the Rogachover to serve on this committee. So the Rogachover turned him down. And he said, because it's actually machlokas of the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, whether I can serve on such a committee. And he explains, our Gemara, the Bavli, uses the expression that these chassidim are showing him, Torosin mishtameris, their Torah is preserved. Implying, in other words, they don't forget it, but they don't necessarily have the ability to grow greater in Torah. If they're spending 9 hours a day on davening and then on before and after davening and davening itself, then they don't necessarily have time for their Torah to grow, but at least they're not forgetting it. The Yerushalmi, on the other hand, has an expression, just like we're saying, malachta misbareches, all Gemara is saying their malacha is blessed, meaning that even though they do only a small amount of work, the effect of it is multiplied. The Yerushalmi says something similar about their Torah, that there's a bracha in their Torah. In other words, the Yerushalmi is implying that the small amount of time of day that they have, these chassidim or rishonim, to learn Torah also is blessed, and it's multiplied beyond beyond what you could expect to achieve during that time. So now the Rogachover says, so it comes out according to the Yerushalmi that if a person is spending less time on learning Torah, because in this case, because he's davening, and in the case of that the Friedrich Rebbe is asking him for Tzorchei Tzibur, there can still be a bracha in his learning. That even though he's spending less time learning, it'll still increase beyond what you could expect. On the other hand, all Gemara Bavli is only saying Todos Mishtameris, that it's going to be preserved. He won't forget, but he's not necessarily going to grow greater. Well, he says, when you have Machlokas Bavli in Yerushalmi, the halacha is like the Bavli. Therefore, the Rav Trevor says, I can't take this job. And then, so the Rebbe goes on in the Sicha to explain over there that that was essentially the argument between Mordechai and the Sanhedrin, and the Mixa Sanhedrin, who stayed away from him. They held like the Bavli, he held like the Yerushalmi. So we'll save the next piece for tomorrow. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola. Hey Kislev. Now that I remember that we have to be in Kislev rather than Mechashven. By the way, this was a test to see whether anybody's paying attention. In a sicha in Tavshin Nun Aleph, throughout that year, of course, the Rebbe was talking about it being the year of Arenu Niflois. So this is the year of Arenu Niflois, the year in which Ki Meitzeis Chameretz Mitzrayim Arenu Niflois will be fulfilled. That we'll see wonders like at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We've already seen wonders that show that this is the year that Melech HaMashiach Nigloboy, named Uliu that year, there had been the fall of communism and so forth. We even had at that time, there was the Gulf War going on and the famous Yalkut Shimoni that was being talked about at that time, the year that Melech HaMashiach Ba, that the year in which Melech HaMashiach comes, he's going to stand on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash and announce to the Jewish people, Anovim Yigiyaz Man Golaschem, and even announce, Hinei Zebo, he's coming now, that he already came. So in other words, now that Emma was saying, we're already on the threshold of the beginning of Yemos HaMashiach, on the threshold of the beginning of the Gola. So unfortunately, apparently it's been a lot, much bigger threshold than we expected. So already at this point, yeah, there's no more excuse for why we should still be in the same situation 32 years later. Halachas. So on to Simon Nun now, which is in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which is rules about Bracha Rishona. So we've covered so far Bracha Rishona on mezonos and on wine. So now let's talk more generally about brachas rishonos. Some of this is actually going to tie into, we're going to have soon in Masechet Brachos, the next perek is also going to be all about bracha rishona. So now the pasuk says Lashema Oretz Imloya. So everything in the world is like hekdesh. Now when you have something of hekdesh, you're not allowed to use it unless you first redeem it, you buy it back from hekdesh, and if not, then you've committed me'ilah. The same way, you're not allowed to have anah from this world without a bracha. What is the bracha amounts to? That's the pidya, and that is what you're paying Hashem for the thing. So therefore, a person eats without a bracha is like committing me'ilah. Now, there's no minimum shiur for it. Even a person is eating or drinking a tiny bit, they have to make a bracha rishona, as opposed to a bracha achrona where there are shiur to it. Now, we know that b'di'evit, if a person makes shakol on anything, then b'di'evit is yotze. And by the way, that is, so the Gemara discusses it, and the halacha ends up being that even if a person said shakol by mistake on bread or on wine, even though those have specific brachas for them, hamotzi and hagofen, even so, b'di'evit, a person says shakol on them, he's yotze. Nevertheless, l'chatchila, you're not allowed to do that. You have to learn which bracha is which. If it's the kind of thing where you can't tell, or where you can't tell what min it is, or where the poskim themselves disagree, then you can be yotze with shakol. If it's something, even then, if it's something that you can patter during a suda, then that's really the best thing. For example, you have the Alter Rebbe mentions as far as rice, where you have the machlokas, where the rice is, the Gemara mentions that odas is mezonos, but there's machlokas where the odas means rice or something else, it actually translates it as millet, and therefore the Alter Rebbe says in Hilchos Birkas Hananin that therefore best you should eat it during a suda, so you eat it during a suda of bread if possible, and that way you don't have a suffix on the bracha of it. If not, then the Alter Rebbe says then you make shakol on it, or yeshomim that also you say you eat other foods with it and each of them, and then you make the respective brachas. But whatever, that's the to say shakol on a food because you don't know is really only the last resort.